And now, back to Lifeline.
Welcome back to the program. 20 minutes before the hour of 7 p.m. Don't forget, tomorrow night, live coverage of round number two, ding, ding, George Bush versus John Kerry in the ring. And the debate will begin, of course, at 6 p.m. and carried in its entirety right here on KFAX. That's tomorrow night on the Friday edition of Lifeline from KFAX. I will admit, I'm going to sound real old right now, okay? And I don't mean just like this, Sonny. I mean old in the sense that back in the day when I went to school, if you were intelligent, thoughtful, studious, followed instructions, you could sit down and tackle just about any subject matter presented to you by your teacher and probably walk out with a pretty good grade point average. Times are a-changing, aren't they? Now, it's not just the matter of being thoughtful, intelligent, studious, good research, and so forth. You have to be politically correct. At least that seems to be the case. What else can we conclude? As we talked about the matter of Summer White and her experience in writing a letter as a class assignment to the President of the United States. Now, to give us a little bit of background, Dad is going to join us. No stranger to the KFAX microphones. He is the co-founder and director of Alpha and Omega Ministries, an expert in Christian apologetics. He's James White. And, James, great to have you on the program again.
Well, it's good to be back on with you. And, in fact, Summer's with me as well.
Excellent. Now, let me pick on you first, Jim. Give us a little bit of background here. Kind of give us the setting. Summer is given an assignment, as I mentioned, to write a letter to the President of the United States.
And she took that very seriously. She researched the subject. The teacher told them to utilize resources to back up their position. And my daughter's gone with me to a number of the debates that I've done, and so she knows when you're told to back up a position, it's a good thing to do because in a debate, a real debate anyways, not the political ones, you sort of get in trouble when you don't back up your position. That's what she did.
So this is not just, Mr. President, here's what I believe, please do something about it, but rather, here's what I believe and the reasons why.
And that's something that that I taught her that is a part of her worldview. And that's now the, wouldn't you say, Summer, isn't that, that's the excuse now that you're not giving credit. Originally, the statement was, basically, I need to find out if you wrote this letter. Isn't that the case?
It changed.
It changed over time, yeah.
Summer, hi, this is Craig Roberts. Great to have you along with your dad on the program tonight. Give us a little bit more background here. So the teacher comes to you and says, write a letter to the president, make it personal. It's not to be an attack letter or something of that sort, but rather discuss the subject matter or an issue that you feel he needs to address, something that the president can act on and improve. It's to be a well-thought-out business letter format. Some direction given in terms of the length and how a couple of the paragraphs ought to begin. But beyond that, was there anything specific said about what the content or subject matter ought to be?
The only specific rules that were given was that it had to be something you felt strongly about.
All right, something that kind of comes out of your heart, your passion.
Yes.
And you chose to sit down and write a letter to the president about the subject matter of stem cell research.
Yes.
You did some research. I mean, Dad's taught you well.
He has.
You got on the Internet. You picked up the Encyclopedia Britannica. You went to whatever sources to find out more about this. What is this medical procedure? What do doctors say about it? What are the promises? What are the upsides, the downsides, right?
Right.
Tell me more. What happened?
I pretty much just I sat down. I did research before I wrote it. I wasn't sure, actually, where I stood as firm as I wanted to before I wrote the paper. So I made sure I knew where I stood on the issue, what I wanted to get across, what my point was, and I wanted to be really passionate about it because we actually were going to be graded on how passionate and how much fire we put into our letter. She wanted us to use really strong words, and I did that. I poured my heart into this thing, and, you know, yeah.
And this letter, I mean, beyond an assignment, was there a directive that this letter would indeed be sent to the president?
Yes, the letter was to be sent after we were to read it in front of the class, and then it was going to be sent. This was the second letter she had sent out of ours. She likes to send out our writing, and she's going to make sure that this one got sent to the president.
All right, well, this is important stuff. I mean, you've done something I've never done, and that is you've written a letter to the president of the United States on an albeit a very deep, very heady subject of stem cell research. Summarize, if you would, for our listeners, because we don't have a lot of time in our segment tonight, but give us kind of the overall thrust of the letter. In the end, was it a recommendation, hey, Mr. President, do what Ron Reagan has said and open up money for more research? Or was it a, hey, you know, we're talking about life here. Maybe we ought not to be meddling with this because in the process of stem cell research, children are dying.
Well, in my letter, I made it very clear that I support stem cell research as long as it's taken from adults, as in there's no human life that is taken out of it.
No embryonic stem cell research,
right.
Which is also, coincidentally, the president's position.
Right, right. I fully support that, but I made it very clear that I do not support embryonic stem cell research, and I explained the differences between the two, why I think adult stem cells are just as useful, and why I do not believe that embryonic stem cells should be used.
Now, James, coming from the thought that the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree, having read Summer's letter, I thought, wow, this is well-researched, articulate, it's not demeaning, it doesn't attempt to speak down to its intended reader, but very respectful tone, very informational. Gotta tell you, this thing certainly would have gotten an A+ from me, even if I didn't concur with the subject matter, just in terms of its thoughtfulness and composure. I mean, this is hitting the ball out of the park. Unfortunately, while that might be my opinion and perhaps the opinion of any adult who can read English that would have read this, that opinion wasn't shared by the teacher. What happened?
Well, the initial response was to ask her about one of the people that she cited in the letter, who was this particular individual, and Summer was the only one that was asked this question. It would be like if you just read a news story and someone asked you and quoted somebody and said, who's such and such person? And you're like, well, it's the person I just quoted in my story, as if you had to know this person. So she was asked to not put her letter into the envelope and to see the teacher after the class. And this was the second day, I think, that the students had been presenting their information and their materials. So she was the only one in the class that was asked to do this, and her letter was not sent to the president.
Why do I get the troubling suspicion that there's a little political correctness going on?
Well,
we want to talk about that when we come back and see where this story eventually ends up. James White is with us tonight, co-founder and director of the Alpha and Omega Ministries. He's a Christian apologist, been a guest on the program a number of times down through the years. With us, too, is his daughter, Summer. She's 15 years old, going to school there in Arizona. We're talking about a class assignment. She did her job, but the teacher apparently disagreed. And this is the curious part. We're going to get more details on this. Not on the notion that it's poorly written, bad language, bad sentence structure, etc., but rather what appears to be, below the surface, a disagreement with the thrust and content, not formatics. Political correctness rears its ugly head yet once again. We'll come back to more of our conversation as Lifeline continues here on KFAX. And now, back to Lifeline. All right, we're back. James White with us tonight, director of Alpha and Omega Ministries. His daughter, Summer, is also with us on the line this evening. For a class assignment, she was instructed to write a letter to the President of the United States on a subject matter which she felt passionate about, in this case, stem cell research. I have a copy of the letter here, and I would defy anyone who has anything higher than a first-grade education to not look at this and say, wow, great. Well thought out, impressive, great structure, would lick a stamp on it and drop it in the mailbox to George Bush at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue any day of the week. The response, though, was less than enthusiastic from your teacher, Summer, who initially gave you a zero on this paper?
Initially, yes, I was going to receive no credit.
No credit? Why? I mean, you turned in the assignment according to the instructions, on time. I mean, what was the point? I mean, it would seem to me that if you hadn't bothered at all, maybe a zero would be appropriate. What was the reasoning?
I still am not sure of the reasoning. The reasons I was given for receiving a zero changed several times.
Really?
Yes. Eventually, the reason was basically I put too much effort into it.
Oh, well, shame on you.
I
now,
know.
There you go working hard in school. Why can't you be lazy like the rest
Look
of the kids?
Look at me. I know. I was given the opportunity to rewrite the letter, eventually, for 75% credit. And the only thing that went through my head is how many ways can I say no? Because I was asked, basically, to rewrite my letter, to strip it, and have it basically be my opinion without all the substantiation that I put in it, the quotes and just the reasoning, the research. She didn't want that in there. She wanted.
But pardon me for interrupting, though. Were not the instructions, and I quote, that you should give reasons here. In fact, they specifically say you should give at least two reasons,
mm-hmm.
Beginning one of the concluding paragraphs with the word if, which would seem to me that there's going to be a conclusion here that will include some degree of consequences if this action is not followed, et cetera, et cetera. Now we're saying take all the reasoning out. So basically strip it of all of its guts. What, maybe suggest that you write the thing in crayon, too?
That's what I'm wondering, yeah, pretty much. I refused to do that. Eventually, I was given another chance to rewrite it for full credit, but my answer was still a very, very firm no.
James, did you get involved in any of this to get a chance to dialogue with Summer's teacher and say, hey, what's up?
Well, sort of. We met with the administration, but I could not directly speak to the teacher. I only had to speak through the principal. And while I think did a good job in demonstrating that she had followed the rules, to be honest with you, the clearest demonstration of what was going on there was when Summer finally had the opportunity of speaking, and she was able to express her own feelings on the subject. As you've heard, she's not only talented in writing, but she can also express her thoughts as well. And that was the greatest refutation of the assertion that this was not her passion, this was not her heart. She explained that it was, but she just recognizes that in a Christian worldview, opinions have to be connected to truth, and all opinions are not equal opinions because there is such thing as objective truth. And Summer has heard in this class the statement, your opinion, help me out here, Summer, your opinion
is truth. Don't worry about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there you go. There's the real issue right there.
Well,
and
the next time the IRS wants me to send them a check for the money I owe them, I'll say, well, in my opinion, I've already paid you all you have coming, and therefore it must be true.
Well, you know the postmodernists cannot live within their own worldview, but they can seemingly enforce their worldview. And, you know, the thing that the Lord's good in all of this. We now know of people, well, many people have contacted us who have read Summer's letter and her follow-up essay that we've posted on my blog, and they've been encouraged to do the same thing no matter what the cost in their schools. And certainly Summer wasn't thinking of that when she wrote that letter, but that's what the Lord has done with it anyway.
Yeah, funny, Summer, how this began with taking a stand on an issue that you were passionate about and expressing those concerns to the President of the United States. Little did you know that you would not only be fighting the battle clear back in Washington, D.C. via mail, but having to once again defend not just the academic integrity of what you've done, but even the content. How did that make you feel?
It's been very encouraging to get all the feedback. Just the fact that it's gotten so much attention, it's humbling, actually, that this little letter started out with just me wanting to get my point across and turning into something so big. It's very encouraging to me.
And by the way, thanks to the fact that we put on the blog, we were informed on this past week that through the agency of someone else, Summer's letter was hand-delivered to the White House on this past Saturday, and will probably be the only one from the entire class that actually gets there. And so, you know, the Lord's been good.
You know, God can use these things to confound those who think they're wise. Isn't it amazing? Because you're right. Chances are, in a large package, the president gets mail all the time.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the responses, of course, are done by his correspondence department, and it's sort of a, you know, thank you very much, dear taxpayer. Thank you for your time and concern. And in reality, the president's eyes never actually grace that communication. God obviously had some bigger plans in all of this. Now, Summer, I'm curious. It through it all, and obviously some very positive things have come out of what has begun as a very disappointing academic experience with what appears to be a horrific lack of integrity on the academic level from your instructor. Did they finally acquiesce and give you a passing grade?
No, I am not sure what my grade is, actually. I don't think I'm doing so well in that class right now. But, you know what, in all honesty, it's worth 50 points. Definitely worth 50 points.
Jim, you mentioned that it's available on your blog, and I would, since we don't have time this afternoon to read the letter in its entirety, I would love for listeners to be able to see that. Give me a web address to point to.
www.aomin.org. aomin.org is our website, and right on the front page you'll see my blog. And I believe Summer's, there's a link to Summer's most recent essay still on the front page. If you follow the blog, you'll find everything, both the letter, the instructions. I put the instructions there. You can follow the instructions down. See if she did it all right.
Excellent. And, again, you can follow that, aomin.org. PJ, if you're back there eavesdropping, let's do a link on the KFAX website to that. Make it easier for listeners that way if they're in the car and can't jot the address down or something. Summer, congratulations, not only on a well-thought-out letter and great execution when it came to following instructions, but ultimately in taking a stand for what's right and realizing that sometimes you have to go beyond academic mind games or political correctness in doing what is right. I'm sure your teacher doesn't share that same opinion, but that's okay. Their letter didn't get hand-delivered to the president. Yours did.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Keep up the good work. Jim, as always, we appreciate, my brother, the job that you're doing. I had no idea you're doing such a great job raising your kids, too.
Well, you know, the Lord's been awful good to me.
Indeed so. Thanks so much, James. We'll
Thank
hope
you.
To get a chance to talk to you again soon.
God bless.